Invite Dan and Jovelyn to come and read for us from Ruth chapter 1, and it's on page 267 in the church Bibles.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They were married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left with her two sons and her husband. Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah.
Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come to me with me? I am going to have any more sons who could become your husbands. Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband, even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons. Would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where there you die, I will die, and there will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me."
Loving God, you promise in Isaiah 55 that your word will not return to you empty, but it will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you sent it. And so today, now, we pray that you would indeed be at work, doing your work in our lives. Would you open our ears, open our hearts and our minds to receive from you? May we look back on this day as a special day because we encountered you here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wonder if I asked you now to sum up the state of our country, of our world in 10 words or less, what kind of words you would choose. Well, the prayer room, the room just through there, will be open at the end of the service. And Hayley has done a brilliant job of putting together some paper and some post-it notes for you to do just that at the end of this service, to go and write some of the words you think describe the state of our country, of our world today, and use those as a prompt for prayer, to be praying for our country and for our world today. But what words would you choose to describe our country and our world today? The author of the book of Ruth chooses 7 words to describe the state of the country and the world at his time. And it writes this: in the days when the judges ruled. 7 words. In the days when the judges ruled. What were those days like? To help us, we are going to use the Cartoonist's Guide to the Bible. And we like a good cartoon. And just to sum up, where place this story, because it's a wonderful story, but if we have it out of context, we might miss some things. So let's put it in the big picture of the Bible. So we'll start with the next slide. Moses bringing the people of God out of Egypt and into freedom, but they're in the desert. They're wandering around the desert until Moses hands over to Joshua. And Joshua is the one who leads the people over the river Jordan into the promised land. And last week, we saw how that happened and how that began to happen at Jericho. And the people of Israel then, in the book of Joshua, spread throughout the promised land. And the next slide, you'll see the tribes of Israel. And I'm not going to test you on these, where they are. But the 12 tribes of Israel spread across the promised land. But Joshua dies. And after Joshua, we move into the time of the judges, which is what we're at now in this book. And that is a time of a downward spiral. And there's a repeated cycle of things that happen. Firstly, the people rebel against God, and they get into a terrible situation. Then they repent, and God sends them a judge, and they are rescued. And then they repeat the whole thing again. Rebel, repent, rescue. And it goes on and on and on. Next week, Eunice is going to help us to look at Gideon, one of those judges, and we'll come back to that next week. So that's where we are. And we see there's this little family, and this little family in Bethlehem, which is, that's where it is on the map, and it means the house of bread. And here they are, this little family, Elimelech and Naomi and their 2 boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And there is a famine in Bethlehem in the house of bread. And so they decide they're going to go to Moab. And so they move to Moab. A bit surprising because Moab is an enemy territory for Israel. It's a foreign country that has been historically an enemy of the people of God. But that's where they go, and they get married to 2 local women. I think they'll pop on the end. There we go. Orpah and Ruth. And they settle down. Maybe initially they thought they were going to be there for a short time, but days turn into weeks and months and years, and they're settled in the country of Moab. And then there's this disaster. Disaster strikes because first Elimelech and then Mahlon and Chilion die. And so we're left with only the women, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. And they are in real serious trouble. There's no social security. There's no safety net. They have lost the men, and the men are the breadwinners, the earners of the family. And so these 3 women are in serious trouble. And not only are they in trouble, they also have faced the ultimate disaster for the time, which is their family name is going to stop because there are no descendants to carry that on. And at the time, in the days of the judges, that would have been the sort of ultimate horrific tragedy that could strike a family. And then Naomi makes a decision. She hears that there is food again in Bethlehem, so she decides that she is going to go home. But she tells her daughters-in-law, I need to go home, but you 2 should stay here. After all, this is your home in Moab. And at first, both of the 2 ladies say, no, no, we're going to come with you. But then eventually, Orpah decides, okay, I'm going to go back to my mother's house. And so she leaves. So we're left with Naomi and Ruth. So from the whole family, now only these 2 remain. And despite Naomi trying to persuade Ruth, Ruth says this famously. It's slightly different wording on the screen, but I'll read that. Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So she makes this amazing commitment to her mother-in-law. I will go with you. And they do. She says, so the next slide, I think, I'm all in. She says, I'm all in. And they travel then together back to Bethlehem, cross the River Jordan again, back to Bethlehem. And there, the story, we leave the story. I just say that this is a wonderful story, the book of Ruth. If you don't know it, or if you've been a while since you read it, can I encourage you maybe with the rest of your day today or some point in the next few days, just to read through it. It's only 4 chapters long. If you'll be at Hagley Road this afternoon, we're going to look at chapter 3, so you'll pick up a bit more of the story then. But please, it's not a long story, and it is an interesting and fascinating story to see where it goes from then on. But we're just going to focus on that first part for a few minutes this morning. And we're going to ask, as we've been asking, as we're looking at encountering God in these Old Testament stories, what we can learn today for our own encounters with God from this story. What does it mean for us to meet with God as we see in this story? And there's 3 things I want just quickly to look at that we see here, insights into encountering God. And the first one is this. I think we see here something about encountering God in the ordinary. Encountering God in the ordinary. Verses 1 and 2 of Ruth chapter 1. You might be thinking, if you've been here for the last few weeks, that this is quite a different kind of story to the ones we've seen so far. We looked at Abraham meeting the 3 strangers by his tent. We looked at Jacob wrestling the man in the stream. We thought about Moses and the bush that's burning. We saw last week Joshua meeting the man with the drawn sword outside Jericho. They were extraordinary encounters, weren't they? They were dramatic. They were face-to-face meetings with God. And we do not see that in Ruth. There are no angels in Ruth. There's no burning bushes. There's no writing on the wall. Instead, there's a very human, very ordinary story. Verse 1, there was a famine in the land. This family was forced to migrate to find work and food and shelter. It's a very ordinary story. People are looking for work. People are forced to move house. Families struggling to stay together. Wages not covering the bills. Packing up and going to a new place. You're going to have to learn a new language. You're going to have to settle into a new place. Work out what's what and where's where. These are very ordinary things that we experience. Feeling hungry. Feeling upset. Feeling angry. Feeling relief when you find somewhere safe, feeling homesick because you're not living where you were used to. The ups and downs of everyday life and experience, they are here because this is an ordinary story. It is an ordinary story, but God is at work. And that's why it's in the Bible. In this story, people, sometimes they know it, sometimes they don't know it, but God is at work. Verse 6. Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people. Verse 16, we see Ruth declaring her faith in God, in the one true God. In chapter 2, the next chapter, we see when Ruth goes off to start looking for food, the field that she comes into just happens to be the field of her relative, Boaz. She had no idea, but God was at work in these ordinary ways and this ordinary life. And I think we need to hear that this morning. And I think one of the reasons we need to hear it is because when we hear about miracles and we hear about burning bushes, then sometimes we might feel, well, I've never seen a burning bush and I've never met an angel with a sword drawn. And so these stories feel a bit removed from me. And they might even make me feel like I'm a second-class Christian. Like maybe I haven't prayed hard enough because I haven't met an angel yet. And actually, here we see people encountering God in the ordinary things of life. And you know, the Bible tells us that after Jesus had died and rose again, that he sent his Holy Spirit to be our guide and our teacher and our helper, to be with us always. And so if we're Christians, we don't need to go to a special place and we don't need to find a special person to help us. We can encounter God where we are, wherever we are, at the school gates or at the post office or at a coffee morning or at the washing up sink, in the ordinary places of our lives. There's a picture on the screen that one of my friends took and shared with me of a moment where the sun just breaks through the clouds and you might easily miss a moment of beauty and of power like this in your daily life if you're rushing past. And I think we see an encouragement in Ruth to pause and recognize where God is encountering us in something as simple as a piece of scenery. It just makes us step back and say, wow, yeah, amazing. At the end of the service today, that photograph and a poem about just that, just pausing to notice those moments, is in that prayer room. And I encourage you, before you leave today, just to go in there and just spend a few moments with that photograph and looking at the poem and just saying to God, this week, God, just help me this week to recognize you in the ordinary things of my life, wherever that might be. So there's an opportunity to do that in the prayer room afterwards. Encountering God in the ordinary. Secondly, we see in the story here, encountering God in the tears. Verses 3 and 5 of Ruth chapter 1. In this story, we see the full range of human emotions. There is a lot of tears. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of laments, mourning, and loss. And again, that's something that resonates with us because every person in this room has had the experience of losing someone close to them. We know grief. Sometimes we might want to separate our grief and our sadness from our experience of God, to sort of put it in a different place and to think, well, we come to church, it should be a happy place and church should be an upbeat place and a positive place, and we don't want to bring our tears into church. But consider Naomi. She's mourning, she's crying because she's lost her husband and her sons. And now in verse 9, her daughters-in-law are about to leave as well. And they've been good to her. This has been a close friendship that she's had with them. They've looked after her. And now they're going to leave. And verse 13, Naomi pours out her heart to her daughters-in-law. She says this, "It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." And Naomi, she feels that God has not just abandoned her, but actually turned against her. And she voices that clearly there and later when she gets back to Bethlehem. You can feel the pain in the words that Naomi speaks. Her disappointment, bitterness, broken dreams, all that she thought would happen, and now this. But here's what I've really been struck by this last couple of days. Despite feeling like that, despite feeling that God has abandoned her and turned against her, Naomi goes home. Naomi goes back to Bethlehem. She goes back to God. She comes back to God. And she comes back to her place, her home, encountering God in the tears, even in the tears. And I don't want to rush over Naomi's grief or her mourning, but if you turn to the end of the book and chapter 4, try to flick over a couple of pages if you're in the book there. In verse 16 of chapter 4, right at the end of this book, we leave Naomi with verse 16. It says this, "Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him." So we finish with Naomi cradling this little tiny baby in her arms, her grandson, Obed, Ruth's son, encountering God even in the tears. And God eventually transformed those tears into that wonderful picture at the end of the book. I think Naomi's tears encourage us this morning to be honest with God, to be honest with the tears, the feelings that we have when we're disappointed, when we're feeling broken. It's not only when everything is going brilliantly that we encounter God. In fact, often quite the reverse. So when we, like Naomi, have those big questions, those doubts, those why questions in our heads, let's not be afraid to bring those to God. And hopefully we have friends around us. I hope you have friends around you if you're part of the family here at Harborne Baptist Church. We have our home groups, wonderful places to share with one another and to make friends who can help us through those questioning times. Encountering God, even in the tears, together, helping one another as we do that. Finally, encountering God in the unexpected, the final part of this passage. I just want you to notice how many things in this story are unexpected. Just how many things. The timing is unexpected. In the days when the judges ruled, I've said already, this is a time of unhappiness, a time where things are going wrong, a time when people are turning away from God, a time when leaders are failing their country, a time where public morals are all over the place, a time where the economy is lurching from disaster to catastrophe. I don't know if that sounds familiar, but that was the time of the judges. And that was the time that God was encountering his people. Unexpected times. And the place is unexpected. You see, Naomi, in verses 6 and 7, she's preparing to head home, back to Judah, back to Bethlehem. But she's not there yet. She's still in Moab. She's still in enemy territory. And it's there that she has this wonderful conversation with Ruth, where Ruth declares her commitment to God and to Naomi. And actually, it's even more wonderful to think about, where was Ruth when she came to know God? Where was Ruth when she picked up who God was and was able to speak about him as she does in verses 16 and 17? She was in Moab. She was in somehow within this little family that Ruth has picked up faith in the one true God through Naomi, perhaps through Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion before they died too. God encountered Ruth in Moab, not when she got back to Israel, but when she was still in Moab. Encountering God in unexpected times and unexpected places, but also the people are unexpected, aren't they? The people. If you look at Ruth chapter 1, just have a scan through it. How many times do the men speak? They don't. It's the women. Naomi and Ruth and Orpah and the women at Bethlehem. Is that unexpected? This is a society, let's remember, where women were not valued, where women were not listened to, were not given opportunities to speak. We don't find women speaking very much, if we're honest, in the Bible. But here they do. And Ruth, this wonderful, faithful follower of God, has a key place in the story of the Bible. Her son, Obed, was King David's granddad. Without Ruth, and without her commitment, and without her taking that risk to go with Naomi, the Bible would look very different. God would have had to have found a different way to have done this. And when Ruth speaks to Naomi in verses 16 and 17, I noticed this yesterday. I think God is speaking to Naomi in Ruth's words. Listen again to what Ruth says to Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. God's message to Naomi, I am for you. I am with you. I am all in. I know that you're here in a foreign land. But wherever you go, I will go. I know that life has been hard. I know that you blame me. But hear this, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And even death will not part us. And through Ruth, this daughter-in-law of yours, this outsider, this unexpected person, I will show you how I'm at work. I will show you how hope and a future will be brought to you. And not just to you, but to your whole nation. And not just to your nation, but ultimately to all nations. Encountering God in unexpected people. And as we hear those words today, do we hear the echo, the prophetic echo of what Ruth says to Naomi, because there'll be another child born in Bethlehem. And that child would grow up and say, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am all in. As Ruth was to Naomi, so Jesus is to us. And that today is good news. It's good news. And so we're going to leave here in a few moments' time. And we're going to go off into the rest of our weeks. And I wonder if you would take with you this encouragement from the story of Ruth to be alert and aware to encountering God in unexpected times and places and people, in ordinary things of our lives, and yes, even in the tears and the hard things that we face this week. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing Blessed Be Your Name together. Lord God, I thank you for Ruth. I thank you for Naomi and for Orpah and for Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, these far-off characters to us in this story, in a time so far from ours and yet so similar in many ways. As you encountered these people, Lord, would you encounter us? And may we know the reassurance and the certainty that you are with us, whatever we face, when the sun is shining and when the rain is pouring, that you are with us. Help us to see you. Help us to know that you are here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you to stand if you're able to. We're going to sing, Blessed Be Your Name, turning every blessing we receive back to you in praise. Thank you.